Hebrews chapter 11. We are looking at and considering the subject of faith, and Hebrews chapter 11 is filled with thoughts concerning that theme. And faith is necessary in order for one to be saved, but there are many other aspects of faith that one needs to realize once they become a child of God. And these things are available to us when we exercise faith. And so God has given us in His Word many people who were examples to us in their life by practicing, exhibiting, displaying faith before people in their time and before the Lord and even before us. And so in Hebrews chapter 11, we're considering the inner workings of faith. In verses 1 through 3, we consider what the core values of faith are. Verse 1 says, "It is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." In a nutshell, that's what faith is. And there is an A and a B when it comes to the core values of faith. A is the substance of things hoped for. B is the evidence of things not seen. And when one practices those core values of faith, puts faith in substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, then he comes to a contented reward. Verse 2 says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." Everyone who is a Christian is a child of the Lord, and he is our heavenly Father. And just like we have earthly fathers and we strive to be pleasing in their sight, we strive to honor them, we strive to respect and obey them, we should desire to be pleasing to our Heavenly Father as a child of God. And when we are, we obtain a good report. Have you ever just tried to imagine what it will be like when you see Jesus face to face and He introduces you to God the Father, and He begins to relate to you some things? Will it be that you obtain a good report? Or will it be that you were sluggish, that you were lazy in the Christian life, that you didn't commit yourself faithfully to some things, and you're there saved, yes, but maybe just by the skin of your teeth, as they say. And at that moment, you know, the Bible does say there'll be tears in heaven, and God will wipe away the tears from our eyes. I've often wondered if that's not due to the fact that we get a bad report in regards to our Christian life and the way we've tried to live here since God has saved us. I don't know that for sure, but it could be. I would like to hear a good report when I stand before the Lord. And I know that I'll be contented if that is the case. And then we see in verse 3 that part of the inner workings of faith is a confident vision. The Bible says that these elders, through faith, come to understand that the Lord was faithful, and that we too can understand that through Him and His Word, the world was framed so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. This faith that we have in God is not a hope-so thing, but it's a sure and a confident thing. And that should be our vision as we strive to live for the Lord until He comes. And then the author begins to give us different people by name who are examples of the way that they practiced faith in their life. The first example was in verse 4, where we saw Abel, and we called it his example, the offering of faith. He shows us what our offering ought to be unto the Lord. The illustration is that his offering was a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And you know the story in the book of Genesis about how those two boys heard the word but chose to go in different directions as far as their offering was concerned. And you know the outcome. But it says that when Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, he obtained witness that he was righteous. God accepted his offering, and he
wrote across his name, righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. You know that Cain killed his brother Abel because he was angry at the outcome, but that didn't stop Abel's life from being a testimony. The Bible says that even though he was dead, yet he speaketh. So the offering of our faith ought to be that we follow the Lord, that we're faithful to his word, that we don't stray from it, and no matter what the outcome is, our testimony will ring true for the Lord. The offering of faith. And then we saw in Enoch, in verse 5, the purpose of faith. Why do we strive to please the Lord and honor and obey him? Because one day we're going to be with him. He's going to catch us up. He's going to bring us to himself, take us out of this world, and bring him to himself. And so the purpose of our faith defeats death, and it determines our delight. There are some things in this life that bring me pleasure. There are some things that I delight in here in this earthly life. But none of those things compare to the sheer delight that we are going to experience one breath after death, when we meet the Lord and we're ushered into that eternal city. And the illustration here is that Enoch was translated so that he should not see death. He defeated death by his offering of faith, by his example of faith, and his destination was defined. God knew where Enoch needed to be. And then we saw in Noah the example of a protection of faith, how God saved him and saved his family. Through the flood, through the judgment, and they came out on the other side unhurt, and God blessed them, and they began to repopulate the earth. When you're in Christ, there is a protection afforded to you from unseen dangers, and through his word, we get useful direction in our life to help us stay under that umbrella of protection. In Abraham, a couple weeks ago, we saw an illustration of obedience in regards to faith, the obedience of faith, and how that even though he didn't know where God had called him to, he got up and departed and went out in pursuit of that place. What faith, and how obedient he was. Tonight we come to Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 11 and 12, and I want you to look at another example with us here in the time that we have. We'll read the verses first. Hebrews 11:11 says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. You may be seated if you're standing. Heavenly Father, bless the time that we have as we consider your word. Open our eyes and our hearts. Give us understanding. Help us to make application. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We see here in Sarah another example of faith, and I call it the strength of faith. The strength of faith. If you'd mark in your Bible the expression in verse number 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength, the Bible says, to conceive seed. We see here the strength of faith. It seems to me that there are a lot of people today who are increasingly aware of the fact that they are in poor health, and they begin to start some kind of program or some kind of change in their lifestyle to improve upon that, to aid their overall being and to increase their vitality and their strength. The average lifespan has for years steadily increased because people are aware of the fact that they need to do certain things in order to keep good health or to ensure that they will have it as they get up in the years of the latter part of their life. People will do things like running and cycling and exercising, lifting weights, using equipment, exercise equipment like treadmills and bicycles and other things in an attempt to try and keep themselves in good health. They will also, along with that, and by doctor's recommendation often, include
a change in their diet. They will begin to eat things that are more healthy. They will leave off the desserts. They will cut out the salt. They will monitor their blood pressure and their cholesterol, all in an attempt to improve their health. They'll eat organic foods or maybe even take natural herbs. And you say, "Preacher, all of that sounds like a lot of work and a big waste of time. God knows how many days we're going to be upon the face of the earth. He knows when our life is going to be over, and so we might as well just live and let live. We might as well just eat and enjoy it while we can, because when God is ready for us, He's going to come and get us." Well, I beg to differ with that. The Bible says that bodily exercise profiteth little. That means that there is some advantage to it. That means that there is some good to it. And then it goes on to say, "But godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." And so I've become a firm believer myself in trying to live healthy, in trying to eat right, in trying to exercise. I've seen firsthand how your physical strength can be improved and how your life can be prolonged if you'll just set yourself to trying to commit to some of these things that we just mentioned by way of illustration. But I'm more interested in this. What are we doing to increase our spiritual strength? What are we doing to improve our overall spiritual well-being? To keep ourselves in the love of God, as Jude said. To grow in grace, as the Apostle Peter instructed. What are we doing to increase our spiritual strength? In our faith, there is an opportunity for us to find strength. Sarah is one who received the strength that she needed in order to accomplish what God had called her to. She had received the same promise that Abraham did. They were to be blessed by having a son in their old age. In Genesis 17 and verse 19, God said, "Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him." But you have to understand something here. While they both received the same promise, Abraham was operating by faith to receive that promise, but it would be Sarah who would physically labor and work for that to come to pass. Sarah would be required to conceive a child. Sarah was called upon to bear and deliver that promised seed late in her life as a 90-year-old woman. She was going to need, I believe, an unbelievable amount of strength from someplace other than herself. She wasn't going to be able to do this in her own flesh. She needed divine intervention. She needed strength from beyond what she could muster up in herself. Fortunately, folks, where God guides, He provides. Where He leads, He feeds. He is sufficient to meet our needs. Listen to what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 40. He said, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary." You see these young people up here, and they're full of life, and they're always on the go. They seem to never wear out, but the Bible says, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But," and here's the encouragement, "they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." So let me ask you a question. How about you spiritually? Are you operating in the strength of the Lord spiritually? Do you rely on your strength to supply the victory that is needed in the Christian life? Are you holding back in your Christian life because you lack the kind of strength that Sarah seemed to possess here? And how do we exercise the power of God in our lives to be at work so that we can see visibly
that He is providing the strength that we need. God's power is available, but it is only available, the Bible says, to those who will wait upon the Lord. And you do that through faith. You, like Sarah, trust that no matter what the outward circumstances appear to be, no matter what it looks like on the face of the thing, God is in control. And if He has said something, you can trust that He will bring it to pass. That's where our strength comes from when we wait upon the Lord. So her life is an example of the progression of a life that is filled with the strength and the power of God. I want you to notice three things with me about Sarah here in these verses. First of all, I believe we see the depletion of material strength. The depletion or void of material strength. The Bible says here in the last part of verse number 11 that she was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. The expression there, past age, is interesting because it identifies for us, I believe, the depletion of material strength. And it is the same with mankind in general. We were originally created with strength and power and all that we need to live a life pleasing unto God until sin entered into the picture. When sin came onto the scene, man who was not corrupted became corrupted. Man who wasn't weak became weak. Man who wasn't depraved became depraved. Man who did not suffer under continual temptation became tempted continually. Why? Because we all come to a place in our life where we need to realize that our strength is not enough to carry us through. When we are depleted of what we need in order to help us be overcomers in this life. Yes, we were created perfect, but we chose through Adam to become imperfect beings. We chose to go on a path away from God. And because of that, we became sinners, and the Bible says that all men have sinned. So there's not one of us who are exempt from this thing of sin. We all fall under that category, and we all are guilty of that very thing. We're sinners in the eyes of God. Created perfect, but because of our own choice, chose to go outside of God's plan for our life. We no longer brought Him pleasure at that point. We no longer pleased Him with our lives. And that hurt God very much to the point that He sent His Son Jesus, who is the perfect God-man, to be a substitute for us, to take our place on the cross so that we might be redeemed and made righteous, as we sang about here tonight already, and have a relationship once again with God. A relationship of putting our faith and trust in Him and trying to please Him with our lives. By our offering, by our testimony, by our obedience, and certainly by our strength. And so we see the depletion of our material strength. The Bible says that Sarah was past age. In her we see our failure. You see, folks, one thing that we cannot do is go back in time and recapture years that we've already experienced. You can't get back what you've already been through. It's expired. It's gone. It's past. Just like the Bible says of Sarah, she was past the age of bearing children. One thing you cannot do is go back and recapture spiritual strength. If you lose that, the only way it can be given back to you is through Jesus Christ as your sacrifice, as your substitute. There's no amount of good works that you can do that will show yourself strong enough to merit that relationship with God again. It's through Jesus Christ. And the Bible says here about Sarah that even though she was past age, she delivered a child. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. She trusted that God would supply the strength that would help her to perform this task that she had been called upon to perform. So in Sarah, we see our failure. In Sarah, we see our flesh. Without God's power, where does man turn to for strength? Unfortunately, we often turn to our own flesh only to see that it will fail us. We sang a song tonight, "The arm of flesh will
fail you. I don't know if you caught that expression in the song, stand up for Jesus. But when we trust in our own selves, this flesh will let us down. This flesh will not lift us up. This flesh will defeat us when we put more trust in it than we do in the Lord. Our power comes from God, not in anything that we can muster up in our flesh or in our heart. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the Bible says, and the flesh profiteth nothing. Could Sarah have done anything to change her situation? In her own self, could she have started taking vitamins to get her to the place where she was able to bear that child? Could she have submitted to a better diet so that she would be more healthy to bear that child in her latter years in life? Could she have done anything to change her situation? Absolutely not. She needed to rely on the Lord. Her body was old and wearied with life, and so she could not trust her own flesh. And here's the application: neither can you. The arm of flesh will fail you. Galatians 5 verses 16 and 17 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Who are you trusting, the flesh or the Spirit? Paul told us in Romans chapter 7, "For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." If it were left up to us, we would just continue to fail repeatedly, over and over and over again, even as a Christian. But how do we stand strong in the Lord? How do we show that we are being lifted up by the Lord? By trusting in His power, in His strength. A young man filled out an application to get into a university. And as he was going down through the application, he came to a section where it said, "List your personal strengths." And so he began to write, "Sometimes I am trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent." Sounds like a Boy Scout, doesn't it, Brother Jason? Where the form said, "List your weaknesses," he wrote, "Sometimes I am not trustworthy, not loyal, not helpful, not friendly, not courteous, not kind, not obedient, not cheerful, not thrifty, not brave, not clean, and not reverent." You see, none of us are perfect. In our own selves, we fail more often than we care to admit. So the message is, do not trust your own flesh. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked," Jeremiah said. "Who can know it?" In Sarah, we see the depletion of our material strength. And it is when we come to the end of ourselves and we say, "God, I am weak," that we learn He is strong. We experience His power. Which leads us to comment on the reception of a miraculous strength. Sarah wasn't alone. God was with her. The Bible says in verse 11 that she waited on God. She judged Him faithful who had promised. And as a result, she received the strength that she needed to fulfill her duties to God. Again, the verse says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Since we have the power of God living within us through the person of the Holy Spirit, we can receive the same miraculous strength from God that Sarah received. But how is that strength received? Through faith, just like she received it. Unbelief says, "How can this be? This situation cannot possibly happen." But faith says, "How shall this be? When shall this situation occur?" God delights in strengthening His children, and His power is received when we express our weakness. As long as you believe that you have the strength in yourself for success, and you can be faithful in your own self, then you're not going to receive the strength from God that you desperately need. He's going to let you to continue to try and do it in your own self. But when you come to the end of your feeble strength, and you look up and cry out to God in need and say, "I can't do it. in this flesh. I need your help. Will you supply me with your power and with your strength? Then that's when he opens up the window and pours out his blessing upon you. It's available to you from him. He told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Paul said, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, and persecutions for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." The greatest illustration, I believe, of this is in the Word of God is found in the life of Joseph. He was a good son, and he had a dream. God had revealed something to him. But before that dream could ever come to pass, God had to do something in his life. He had to weaken him so that he could endue him for the power that was needed. And in Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 20, when all that occurred, Joseph said to those who meant to do him harm, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." Sometimes our biggest weakness can become our biggest strength when we realize what God is trying to do. Take, for example, the story of a 10-year-old boy. He decided to study judo. He, however, had lost his left arm in a devastating car accident. So when he went into the instructional place and inquired about becoming a student, one of the teachers talked with him for a few moments and said, "I'll try to work with you and see what we can teach you." And so the boy began trying to master the art of judo. After 3 months of training, the master had taught him only one move. He asked him, "Shouldn't I be learning more moves? I think I'm pretty good at this one." And the instructor said, "Not just yet. You still need some more work in this area of training." Several months later, the instructor took the boy to his first tournament. Surprising himself, the boy easily won his first two matches with that one move that he had been taught. The third match, however, proved to be more difficult. But after some time, his opponent became impatient and charged at him. At that moment, the one-armed boy deftly used that one move to win the match. Still amazed by his success, he somehow miraculously made it to the finals. This time, his opponent across the mat from him was bigger, stronger, and more experienced. For a while, he thought, "I'm overmatched." Concerned that the boy might get hurt, the referee called a timeout and went to his instructor and said, "Why don't you just throw in the towel?" And his instructor said, "Let him continue." Soon after the match resumed, his opponent made a critical mistake. He dropped his guard, and the one-armed boy made his one move that he had mastered to pin him. He won the match and the tournament. He was the champion. On the way home, the boy and his instructor reviewed each match. Then the boy summoned up the courage to ask what was really on his mind. He said to his instructor, "How did I win the tournament, sir, with only one move?" And his instructor said, "You won for two reasons. First, you've almost mastered one of the most difficult throws in all of judo. And second, the only known defense for that move is for your opponent to grab your left arm." That's a good story, isn't it? Sometimes what we think is our weakness, sometimes what we think is our disability, turns out to be our strength. When we are honest with God before Him and say, "I am weak, but Thou art strong. I'm minus an arm, but I have You." Then that's when God shows up and does something miraculous. God's power is rendered through weakness, and it is rendered with humility. Many times we do not receive the power of God in our lives because we possess a prideful and an arrogant spirit. We will not humble ourselves in the sight of God. The purpose of receiving the power from Him in our lives is so that we might be able to perfect and reflect the glory of God in our lives before others. We're an illustration of His grace in our lives. It's not the glory of self that we're to be living for, but the glory of the Savior, the glory of the Son, the glory of God. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and He hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, and even the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. It don't make sense to the human rationale. When we try to think and analyze it, we say, I can't buy that. But in God's mind, it makes perfect sense. When we are weak, then He is strong. We make ourselves available to Him. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. A little boy was trying to lift a heavy stone, and he huffed and he puffed, but in all of his attempts, he could not budge it. His father was watching nearby, and after the struggle for quite some time, he finally approached the little boy, and he said, "Are you using all your strength?" "Yes, I am," the boy cried, but you could tell he was exhausted. The father gently placed his hand upon his boy's shoulder, and he said, "No, you're not. You haven't asked me to help you yet." And that's the way it is a lot of times in Christians' lives. We try to struggle and do it in our own strength without asking God, our Heavenly Father, for His help. And He stands by and watches us exhaust ourselves to the point where we're weary and ready to fall on our face. And then He comes by and He gently says, "Have you used all your resources yet?" And in our ignorance, we say, "Yes, Father, we have." And He says, "No, you haven't given me an opportunity yet to show myself strong on your behalf." And so we see how His divine intervention is profitable in our lives and how it provides the strength that is needed. So we should come to the place where Sarah came in her life. In spite of her doubt that she may have had, she trusted in God. She judged Him faithful who had promised. And verse 12 says, "Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable." She did not take control of her own life, but she placed her life in God's hand and depended on Him as her source of strength. It's time for you and I to live our lives just as Sarah did, in the power of God, to release ourselves unto Him and say, "I trust You to supply my every need." And that life that Sarah possessed, that strong life of faith, we see was maintained through God's promises that had been delivered unto her. What has God promised us? He's promised us salvation, eternal life, security, strength, power, and provision. We can trust Him. He can help us throughout this Christian life. And that faith is maintained in God's person. Notice that she judged Him faithful who had promised. She considered Him who is worthy to be considered and determined that her life would be His outcome. She put her life literally in His hands and said, "You do with me what You want me to be." Sarah not only considered the promises of God, but she considered who gave those promises. Two people can make the same promise to me, but it doesn't mean that I will believe both of them can accomplish it. My wife can promise me something, and another can promise me something, and I'll just be honest with you, I'm going to put more faith in what my wife says than someone else says. And you are the same way with people in your life. A promise is always dependent upon the giver. And Sarah's faith and trust was in the person of Jesus Christ, in the person of God. She trusted Him who is faithful, Him who would not let her down. Bill Gates can promise you $1,000 and you might believe it, but never receive it. And someone else of not quite as much worth may promise you the same thing and surprise you and deliver it. It's not so much in the name as it is the performance of the person. And you can put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He's never failed one time. He will come through. What are the resources of God?
himself. He makes himself available to you. The Bible says that Sarah was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Remember the questions we asked in the beginning? How are you living your life? Are you strengthening yourself spiritually? You can when you come to the end of yourself and you say, God, I'm weak, but I realize you're strong, and I'm depending upon you to bring me through every situation in my life. Put your faith in God, and He'll strengthen you just like He strengthened Sarah.